Hello, my name is Isaac Keith Martinez, and welcome to Isaac's Haunted Beard. Today we're going to talk about the film Benny and June from the year 1993. This is one of my favorite rom-coms. As you know, rom-com stands for romantic comedy. Or, as Wikipedia describes this film, it is a psychological romantic comedy, whatever that means. Although I think many of you have seen this film, I'm not convinced that all of you have seen it. So when I describe the plot, I'll be careful not to give away spoilers. I'll give enough so that you can follow the story, but not everything. And I don't think I'm going to give anything away that's going to ruin it for you if you choose to check it out, which I hope you do, or I hope that you choose to revisit it if it's been a while. So let's talk about Benny and June, shall we? Unlike other rom-coms, Benny and June, the namesake of the film, are not the romantic couple in this rom-com. Benny and June are siblings. Benny is played by Aidan Quinn. Benny is a mechanic. He's in his 30s, who is also a caretaker for his mentally ill sister, Juniper, or June for short, who is in her 20s. And she's played by Mary Stuart Masterson. She's an artist, she paints, and she lives in her own reality. Although her illness is never named in the film, the illness she suffers from is schizophrenia. Benny and his friends play poker regularly. They never bet with real money. They always bet with possessions. Like when they throw something into the pot, they'll take a little piece of paper and they'll write down what they're offering and they throw it into the pot, and then whoever wins the hand wins all the pieces of paper, and then you have to cash in for the things that was bet. But it's always small things like soap on a rope and a favor sometimes, like, you know, mow my lawn or something like that. Benny now brings June to these games since June's previous caretaker quit. June can be difficult to care for. It's at one of these games that June joins the game while Benny is outside talking to one of his buddies. June loses, and in the pot was a cousin named Sam that was living with Mike, one of Benny's friends. Sam is in his 20s. He's dyslexic. He's obsessed with movies, especially silent films, and he fashions his look, you know, the way he dresses and so forth, after Buster Keaton. And as I'm sure you know by now, Sam is played by Johnny Depp. Sam goes home to live with Benny and June, and he is a great housekeeper. He cleans the house, and June gets along with him, which is not something that a lot of people can easily achieve. Benny gives Sam the heads up privately about June's condition and what to expect. Sam and June get along very well, and they bond quickly over a number of things, including their mutual fear of the California raisins. There's a scene where Sam asks, "Have you seen those raisins that sing and dance on TV?" "They scare me," June answers. "Yeah, me too," Sam says. It's also discovered that Sam can perform physical comedy routines excellently, like those of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. The first time we see an example of this is at a diner where Ruthie works at. Ruthie is played by Julianne Moore, and she becomes the love interest of Benny. This film is mostly about two young people who live in their own versions of reality, finding each other and falling in love. The obstacles of their relationship is Benny, who is overly protective of his sister. And you can't really blame him. And of course, June's illness and whether or not Sam can deal with this, as we find out in a scene where June has an episode on a bus ride where she starts to hear voices, or, you know, Sam is accompanying her on this ride. Now, I don't want to get into too much more of the plot. I honestly think I did a pretty good job of not spoiling things for you. Check it out. I do recommend this film. I mean, unless you're totally not into anything has anything to do with romance. But it's a quirky movie, and that's one of the big appeals for me. So why do I like this movie? I like this movie because, in my opinion, it's not a typical romantic comedy or romantic film. I don't consider myself an expert on rom-coms. I mean, I apologize if you don't like that term. I don't mean it to be insulting. I know some people don't really like the term rom-com. I think it's just, you know, I don't think it's meant to be insulting. It's just shortened two words, romantic and comedy. It's just a film that has those specific elements, romance and comedy, which I think is more common than, you know, romantic dramas. I think the comedy element can make them more fun than a romantic drama. I think if I say anything that you disagree with, that's fine. These are just my opinions. But I think that romantic comedies tend to be made and marketed towards usually a more mainstream movie-going audience and people who tend to enjoy films that are more eccentric and quirky may avoid them. Myself included, I'm not against rom-coms. I rarely watch them. I'm not usually in the mood to see a story about, you know, how these two people met and fell in love. I don't really care. And a lot of it is because I don't care about the characters, you know? Like, I don't care why this particular character fell in love with that particular character, because they're not characters that I find interesting. Why I like this movie and this rom-com is because I do find these two characters interesting. I find Sam interesting. I like the whole idea of someone who's obsessed with movies, because I'm obsessed with movies. And it doesn't matter that his obsession is different from my obsession, because I don't dress up like Buster Keaton. I don't go around doing, you know, Charlie Chaplin routines. But I think it's fascinating that he does. You know, if you go along with the idea that this is real, you know, I mean, wouldn't you find a guy like that in real life fascinating? Like, hey, you know that guy dresses up like Buster Keaton. He's really good at, you know, doing old silent film comedy routines. I think that would be really neat. I would, you know, potentially want to be friends with a guy like Sam, even though I feel like it might be challenging to be friends with a guy like Sam, because I'm sure Sam is probably careful about who he chooses to make friends with. As am I, as I'm guessing you are too. And June is someone who suffers from a mental illness, and everything I think about her is only based on how this character is represented in this film. I'm not using her as any sort of representation of that illness. I'm just judging the character. And I find her interesting enough and likable enough and quirky enough where when I see these two people who are not the typical type of people that you see in romantic comedies in a movie fall in love, I find myself drawn to that story. I do want to see what a romance between these two people would be like, just like in real life. In real life, it's not like I'm such a romantic person that any time two just, you know, random people that I know or know of get together, I'm like, ooh, I'm so interested. Tell me all about it. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But sometimes people that you find particularly interesting might become romantically involved with another person that you find interesting. And then you, as an outside observer, are interested. You hope for the best. You want the relationship to work. So I care about the relationship between Sam and June, whereas in most of these films, I don't care about the relationship between, you know, two people that I may consider ordinary. All right, so there. That's my opinion about that. But let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? The elephant in the room is the portrayal of schizophrenia in this movie. And I didn't really know this at the time, and I didn't learn this until much later, but some people have a problem with the way the illness is portrayed in the film, and they may consider it an unrealistic portrayal of the illness. So I ask you, let's just, you know, go along with the idea that it is an unrealistic portrayal, because I'm not going to pretend like I know enough about this subject to be able to give you a solid opinion about whether or not I think it's real or unreal. I'll take the word of it for the people who say they know that it's unrealistic. So if you go along with this idea that this is an unrealistic portrayal of an illness, it leads you to the question, would this prevent you from enjoying the movie? Well, you already know I like this movie. I've recorded this podcast episode celebrating it and encouraging you to watch it. I guess what I'm doing here is, defending why I, not that it's unimportant, because I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of if it's important to you, and then defending why it's not important to me. What I would hate to think is, by admitting that it's not important to me, that you don't think I'm a bad person. And if you do, I think anything I say is just going to sound like an excuse to you. But if you're like me and you're like, ah, dude, I don't really care, then I think that you've already let me off the hook. What I'm doing is judging what's on the screen. I'm sure there are movies that exist that have very realistic portrayals of this illness. I don't know what those movies are. I would potentially watch them, but because I haven't seen them and I don't know what they are, this episode isn't about those films. So all I can do is talk about what's on the screen and my personal reaction to it. And because my personal reaction to it is positive and I enjoy watching the movie, I'm more forgiving of this being a more, you know, saccharine version of what the illness is like. And for the record, the word schizophrenia is never actually used in the movie. So if you want to let yourself off the hook, you can just call it movie illness. She suffers from a fake movie illness, but people who know the signs of schizophrenia say, no, she's suffering from schizophrenia. I honestly don't think most of you are going to go, that's going to prevent me from watching the movie. And quite frankly, I'm thinking you're making much too big of a deal of this subject. So let's move on, shall we? This film is like a fairy tale to me, right? Is it to you? Does that make sense? So I have to go into too much detail explaining why I feel like it's kind of like a fairy tale. In order to keep the film feeling like a fairy tale, I feel like you can't make it too realistic of a film about schizophrenia, because I think that this film shouldn't be all about the illness. It should be mostly about the romance, because it is a romantic comedy. And it is funny. I mean, the part of it that's described as a comedy, I think the jokes are mostly in the hands of Johnny Depp, who is funny because, I mean, mostly because he's just doing other people's comedy that's already been celebrated over the years. People already like the comedy of Buster Keaton and the comedy of Charlie Chaplin. And so and they may not be familiar with it. So when you see it again in the context of this movie, it's an opportunity to laugh all over again at these, or have a whole new audience laugh at these jokes. And to be honest with you, I'm very unfamiliar with a lot of silent films. Does that mean that I feel guilty about it? And then I'm like, you know, trying to pretend like, oh, I'm going to catch up and watch it. No, I'm not. Every once in a while, I'll look at one. And then usually even if I really enjoy it, I think to myself, well, that's enough of that. It's going to be another couple of years before I try watching another silent film. Sam and June live in their own versions of reality. And if you've seen the movie, I think you understand what I mean. I don't want to overly explain that. Just take my word for it. I do think most of you have seen the movie. Do you relate to this concept? Is that something that is common among creative people? I don't think you need to be mentally ill in order to live in your own version of reality. I feel like I live in my own version of reality. I also think that I'm a creative person. I tend to make friends with other creative people. I happen to feel like most of the creative people that I know live in their own versions of reality. It's also something I'm very attracted to in friends. Like, I find those people interesting. I like the idea of a person who lives in their own little bubble. And, granted, in this scenario, I'm describing somebody who's not harming themselves or harming other people. So it's not hurting anybody that they live their lives this way, but they live their lives in such a way where they live in this own weird little bubble. And when you visit them, you are like visiting their planet. Just like I feel like when people visit me, it's like you're visiting planet Isaac. And anything about me that might be considered so eccentric that people would go, God, he's kind of weird. I actually try to not exhibit that too much in the podcast because it wouldn't help to try and explain my feelings about movies and why I find them special if I waste that time by being weird. You know what I mean? Like, you got to tone it down, dude. If you're going to try to explain yourself and have people understand you, you have to try and do it in a way where your language is very clear. Okay? Never assume that people know what you're talking about if you're going to go off in these like weird little, you know, side paths. Explain things clearly. Now, this film is a romance film, right? It's a rom-com. Let's talk about the rom and rom-com. I'm not, as I said earlier, too drawn to films that are where the main focus is the romance. And if you think about it, most films have that element, but it's not the main thing about the film. It's usually like a side thing about the film. But all my favorite romantic films are weird romantic films where weirdos fall in love. You know, I like movies like Wild at Heart, you know, that's a weird romance film, right? But that's also kind of a, you know, dramatic crime film too. So when I do really embrace a romantic film, it's usually about weirdos in love. I like it when weirdos find each other because, you know what? I think the idea is that in real life, weirdos feel lonely because they know they're weird. They know that that's part of the reason why they're having so much trouble making a romantic connection, either because people don't want to be anywhere near them because they find them weird, or because they have standards and they find other people boring because, you know, normalcy can be boring. Who wants to be ordinary? So ordinary people label people who aren't ordinary as weird, as though that's some sort of insult. But I think that maybe if that ever was back in the day, it isn't anymore, because I think us weirdos wear that description as a badge of honor. Now, you can't have a romantic film about two weirdos without making it different. So let's talk about that first kiss. I guess I'm spoiling things for you. You either gotta like go with it and forgive me if you haven't seen it, or just trust me and say it's not gonna ruin it for you when you finally see it. It's still gonna be very enchanting. When Johnny Depp and Mary Stuart Masterson, or Sam and June, have their first kiss, they have this passionate first kiss without ever touching. Their lips get so close to each other's and they mimic kissing each other, but they never actually kiss. And I find that, one, just visually very interesting as a film, as a, you know, a choice to see on a film, like, oh, this is a kissing scene that doesn't involve kissing. Also, in a weird way, I think it's very realistic because I feel like both of these characters may not have ever even kissed someone before. So there's a fear, there's a nervousness. So they're showing that they want to kiss, but they haven't quite committed to making the physical contact with the other person yet. Which leads to the sex scene, right? You know, most... No, that's not fair. I was going to say that most sex scenes are just, you know, done just to almost kind of like exploit sex, like to have an opportunity to show nudity and just like turn on the audience. That's untrue. I guess there's way too many movies that exist for me to just, you know, say that most of them are that way. But a lot of them are that way. So much of them are that way that I think that you might understand why I might have initially gone there. But the point with this film is, this film is not only a very lovely, sweet, romantic film about two very almost like, God, I almost want to say angelic people. I definitely feel like Sam is angelic. June has moments where she's kind of potentially violent and difficult, but that's not her fault. That's part of her illness. So in her own way, she's also kind of a little angel herself, you know? And if you're going to have these two people have sex, you don't want it to be gross. You don't want it to be dirty. And they really achieve a very tasteful sex scene. They don't even get nude in this scene. It's very tastefully done. And they keep their clothes on, and the way it's edited and how much time is spent showing it, you get the cross that they've had sex, and it never even registers as sex. It just feels like love. You know that cheesy saying, making love? They really does look like they're making love. This is the second romantic film I've ever done an episode on in my podcast that stars Mary Stuart Masterson. I don't know if you remember, but I did an episode on Some Kind of Wonderful. you know, Mary Stuart Masterson was not actually the first choice to play June. It was Winona Ryder. At the time being, you know, 90s, early 90s, Winona Ryder was dating Johnny Depp. She got the part, and then right around that time, they broke up, and she chose to leave the film because she didn't want to work with her ex-boyfriend. And you can't blame her, right? Why would you want to work with your ex? So the part went to Mary Stuart Masterson. And speaking of characters not played by the director's first choice, the part of Benny was originally supposed to be played by Woody Harrelson. And he was all set to play the part. And then he got the opportunity to make the film Indecent Proposal, which he accepted because it was a bigger film. He'd make more money, I guess. And he left the project and they sued him. A lawsuit followed. And I think they settled out of court. I really like Aidan Quinn's performance as Benny. I think that Woody Harrelson is a wonderful actor. I really, really like him. But I think that Woody Harrelson would have played Benny potentially more scary, because I find Woody Harrelson very intimidating. I mean, granted, when he's playing when he's on Cheers, no, he's naive and he's cute, but Benny, Woody Harrelson's very he's got that loose cannon kind of personality, and when he gets angry, it's pretty scary. This film was directed by Jeremiah S. Chechik. And the only film in his filmography that I want to point out is he made the film The Avengers. No, not Marvel's The Avengers, not Hulk and Thor and Iron Man. No, he made the one with Uma Thurman and Sean Connery and Ralph Fiennes that was based on the 60s television series of the same name. It is a movie that is very hated. I love it. I love the Avengers, and I'm still hoping, fingers crossed, that one day the Avengers will find its cult and have a cult following. Maybe I'll do an episode on my show of the Avengers one day on Isaac's Haunted Beard. I can explain why I love this movie so much. I found out that there was a musical stage adaptation of Benny and June, which I find very neat because that means that the actor that plays Sam would have had to do the physical comedy routines live. And I think more than anything else, that would be the main draw for me to see Benny and June, the musical, live, so I could see someone do those comedy routines live. It played in San Diego in 2017, and it also played in New Jersey in 2019. I love that this film feels timeless. Don't you find that you could probably show this movie to anyone at any given, like you could show it to somebody now, and it wouldn't feel like a young person would go, oh, this movie feels old. This feels ancient. This is old-timey. No, I feel like you could even, I mean, not that I'm encouraging anyone to remake it, but I feel like if they did, it wouldn't feel like a dated story. I think that you could make, I think the only thing that you would, like, there's not much you would have to do to update it. The only thing that comes to mind is there's a scene where Sam is performing a physical comedy routine in the park. If they did that today, everyone would be watching it while holding their phones and filming it. You know that scene where Sam makes grilled cheese sandwiches with an iron? Doesn't it remind you of those life hacks that you see on social media? Those life hacks are so stupid. I never trust that those people do those things all the time whenever they make those dishes. I feel like they do it specifically for the video to put it on social media, and even if they get a lot of negative replies, just going viral is all they wanted to achieve. But Sam's making of grilled cheese sandwiches with an iron does actually work, from what I understand, and it's more of a life hack than any of the life hacks I've seen. Before I go, I just want to mention something. I have, you know, a lot of people like to quote films. Like, it's, you know, it's just a part of life, right? You're always like, you know, I do it too. And it's always weird when someone quotes something that nobody ever quotes. It doesn't even come across as a line that you think would be quotable. But there's a part where Benny gets really mad at Sam and says the line, "You're a first-class moron." But the way he pronounces moron, I can't even do it well. He's like, "You're a first-class moron." Something like that. I had this friend back then who thought that delivery was so funny that whenever he wanted to pretend like he was mad at you, he'd be like, "You're a first-class moron." I'll never forget that. Hey, I hope you check out Benny and June. Thank you for spending time with your old haunted pal. Next week we'll talk about a different movie. Until then, I hope you take care of yourself and take care of each other. And who knows, maybe the next time you feel like making grilled cheese sandwiches, you'll pull out your iron and go, you know what? This one's for Benny and June and Sam and Isaac's haunted beard. Aloha.